plate a potential nugget.
A related question, Marshall. One of the things that comes up, you know, one of the people I spoke to was Linda Grattan, who's written the book, yes, 100 Life. And given that we're going to be working, you know, into our 70s and 80s, and we're going to be living much longer, one of the questions that leaders come up with or grapple with is, how do I stay relevant? You know, whether I'm 40 or 50 or 60, you've been relevant over four decades. If you had to sort of distill some wisdom around staying relevant, what are some of the things, maybe even you're a great role model in terms of staying relevant, and the world has changed in terms of, you know, what the world was in terms of the industries, the leadership paradigm to what it is now. So any insights there, Marshall?
Yeah, assuming I'm relevant right now, I made it to my 70s at least.
Of course.
Now, let me give you a way to look at life to answer that question. And how to stay relevant, I'm going to use you as an example, because I like to talk to real people rather than abstractions. Are you ready?
Yeah, please.
Now, do you go by Deepak?
Deepak, yeah.
Deepak, okay. Take a deep breath. Take a deeper breath. Now, the good Buddhist principle is this. Every time I take a deep breath, it's a new me. It's a new me. And everything in your life was done by an infinite set of people. Their names were the previous Deepaks, the previous yous. Close your eyes. I want you to think of all the previous Deepaks. Think of all the gifts they have given to you that's listening to me talk right now. Think about how hard those people tried. Think about all they did to help other people. Open your eyes. Now, if any group of people did that many nice things, what should you say to those nice people? Thank you. Do your hands. Thank you. Thank you. Now, did they make a little mistake or two over the years? Let go. Let go. Now, back to your question, moving forward. The Deepak I'm talking to, I'm writing a new book called The Earned Life. The Deepak I'm talking to right now, you haven't earned one thing. You have not, you've earned nothing. Almost everything you have has been inherited. It's a gift from the previous Deepaks. You didn't earn a thing, they did. The guy I'm talking to, you haven't earned anything. Now you have to ask yourself, what is this person going to earn? What is this person going to earn moving forward? And yesterday, I can tell you, I'm a Buddhist. I really had the ultimate example of the importance of Buddhism yesterday. I talked to one of the most famous people in the world. Glamorous, good looking, mega rich, famous. I said, on a 1 to 10 scale, how would you score this test on an average day? I did my best to be happy. You know what he said? 4. It's not out there. It's in here. And you also need to think in another way of life. The previous Deepaks were like your parents. Almost everything you have today was created by those people. These were your parents. The future Deepaks are your children. What do you want to give to your children? What do you want to give to your children? And the most moving case study of this was my friend, Dr. Jim Kim. He's one of my 100 coaches, and he was president of World Bank. He was head of Partners in Health. And in his life, he's probably saved literally tens of millions of lives. If anybody in the world could say, I can coast, it's him. I told him the story. You know what he said? I hope I can make mommy and daddy proud. hope I can make mommy and daddy proud. Very touchy. Well, to me, every time you take a breath, it's a new you. You can't live in the past. The person I talked to, if you could be happy because of what you achieved, he'd be the happiest person in the world. The other thing is there are literally millions of people who would kill to be this person. For what? And for what? Yeah, millions of dollars and fame and so what? Yeah, so what? And you work in the area of transition. I worked with a lot of CEOs, and you can't just play bad golf with old men at the country club and eat chicken sandwiches all day. You've got to earn respect every day. And not only earn the respect of other people, you need to earn the respect of the person you see in the mirror. And when you stop doing that, you live in the past. And if you look at ex-athletes in the U.S., football, basketball, terrible. Depression, suicide, divorce, bankruptcy. They just collapse. Michael Phelps, the great Olympic champion, did a movie, I don't know if you saw it, called The Weight of Gold.
I haven't actually. I heard about his struggles with depression some time back, but I haven't seen the movie.
Talked about ex-Olympians. Depression, suicide. Why? They thought, if I win the Olympic gold medal, that's it. No. You won the Olympic gold medal and billions of people cheered. What happens tomorrow? And if you're not careful, your entire identity becomes, my father used to say, used to be. Yeah, didn't you used to be Michael Phelps? Didn't you used to be an Olympic champion? Your whole life is your used to be. So I think a great way to look at life is every day we're starting over here. And those people in the past may have done some great things. That wasn't you. Yeah, that pro football player that's sitting there drunk talking about what he did 40 years ago, that guy didn't win the Super Bowl. Some young kid won the Super Bowl. That guy's an old man talking about somebody that won the Super Bowl. Living in the past doesn't work.
Just picking up on that, Marshall, clearly one is about living each moment, each new moment as a new you, but we also live in a world of abundance. And
in my book, What Got You Here Won't Get You There. Mm-hmm. Have you seen that book, What Got You Here Won't Get You There? A very good book. Yeah. One of the things in the book is when people say things to you, you never say yes, but what you just did. And all my clients that do that have to donate $20 to charity. Now keep going, but leave out the but.
Sure. I was saying, in a world where there are abundant choices, I come across a lot of people who feel paralyzed. You know, they've achieved success in a certain domain, like you said. It could be a sports person or it could be a business CEO. But then you know that you have another 20, 30 years ahead. How do you make choices? And what's been your observation around people who are thoughtful about these transitions, when they transition effectively from one sort of innings, if you will, to another?
Yeah, the people I work with, for example, in a way, they have abundant choices. In a way, they have very few choices. Here's the problem. Yeah, could they get a job? Yes. They don't have to work anyway. The guy I talked to yesterday was worth tens of millions of dollars. They don't have to work. Could they get a job? Of course. You might say there's abundant choices. In terms of a job, there are not abundant choices. There are almost no choices. Why? You can get a job, but you can't get a great job. Yeah, you can get a job, but you can't get a great job. You can get some boring job, some job you don't want to do. There aren't that. To get a great job is not easy. And the people I work with, I say, look, you don't want to have a mediocre life. Yeah, there are a million choices where you can have a mediocre life. There are not a million choices where you can have a great life. And what you really want to say is, how can I have a great life? And there aren't a million choices for that. And you've got to start over and pretend you're in sales. You're like a kid going out there in a job market. Now, you might say, well, I'm a big CEO. Yeah, you are. But guess what? Everyone else applying for that job has a big CEO just like you are. Yeah, and they're all big deals. And so you're just starting over. It's much healthier because when our egos get in the way, then we have to think, well, I don't, you say things like, I don't need this. Well, nobody applying for this job needs it. Yeah, no, any job you want, all the applicants don't need it. So make, you know, you don't need it, big deal. Don't say that. It's not impressive. Yeah, you do need it.
I remember asking a similar question to Atul Kasbekar, one of the top photographers in India, who's now a well-known producer. I asked him how he thought about staying relevant in the context of the democratization of the world of photography after the advent of smartphones and all the smart software. And here's what he said.
So I love the word relevance. I'm glad you used it because I think I have hats off to people who have managed to do that in their careers for long. I mean, like, for example, whatever criticism anyone, let's say, does of Mr. Bachchan, you know, I'm a huge admirer, you know, and I'm a huge admirer just from the fact that he wakes up every day and he thinks to himself that, you know, this is a new day, it's a new fight. You know, kal tak jo kiya hai, bhul jao. Aaj kya kiya batao. Okay. And onward ho. You know, and then I don't know when the man sleeps, but he still writes his blog and he'll date it and he'll number it. Then it's incredible, you know. So, and he has stayed relevant and he's getting paid a lot of money and more power to him, whether to endorse something or whether to, you know, whatever. So I think if you can do that over a sustained period of time, it is only because of a couple of things, I think. One is the fear that you will be number four, five, eight or forgotten, you know, and that's traumatic to most. So then you work extra hard. You know, I was just talking a couple of days ago about, let's say, film directors. Look at Clint Eastwood. I mean, somewhere in his 80s, and we're talking Dirty Harry, who made some utterly time-pass westerns in his time. I never had any great respect for him then in his heyday as an actor. You know, but man, I will touch his feet if I meet him now. Because, I mean, oh my God. You know, I mean, oh my God. I as an actor. B, as a director, what has he done? He's like, you cannot be doing American Sniper at 80. You know, he's 80 something. It's a really complicated film on location, you know, and bombed out areas is like hectic. And, you know, if you've been in a film shoot, you know how difficult it is what he has done. And he's doing that at 80 something. He is not saying, hi, yaar, what I've done is enough for a lifetime achievement in whatever the hell I want it to be. And let's now stop. And okay, it's a new morning. Let's.
If this topic is of interest, please visit playtopotential.com. Go to the curated playlist section and look up the playlist Staying Relevant. It has insights from leading thinkers, sportsmen, CEOs, and others on how they've thought about playing the game over the long term.